Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, welcome in to the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on a snowy Wednesday morning. Joe, I briefly looked outside. There is some definite accumulation at my house. How are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, same. Probably, I'd say 3-4 inches. Is what it looks like. They looked on the top of the cars. So a nice blanketing. So if anybody listening is out in this stuff, you know, be careful. Hopefully you got your 8 gallons of milk
or bread. I mean,
yeah, well, both.
My wife actually attempted to go to the store yesterday, not to get food. She actually needed something, but I told her to look and see how much bread was still in there while she was there. She said very limited amount of bread still left in there. People were buying like hamburger buns. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. Just like, gotta
like not to grill burgers, just to have bread.
Right. Yeah. Gotta have a lot of sandwiches when the world ends.
Yeah.
So yeah. We get like whole milk. We drink whole milk and I usually get the half ones because like, you know, we've just let them go too much when you get the gallons, and there was one of those left. I got the very last one in the store.
Look at you. What a guy. Keiser, how we doing? How was your trek into the studio this morning?
Hey, guys. Yeah, my excursion was great. I didn't have too many problems, but I will say as long as you keep it a relatively safe, you know, speed, you should be fine out there on the road. So, yeah, don't worry too much about it, but, yeah, doing okay.
Good. Glad to see that you're okay. I was wondering if you're going to have to people have been known to pull an all-nighter at the station. I wonder if that was going to be Nick Keiser. But Nick Keiser ain't about that life.
No.
He will do that.
Not really. I did that last year once, but now I got a four-wheel drive car, so now I'm going to sleep in my own bed.
That's right.
So the Robbie and Rex Road Show officially endorses, hey, folks, go drive in the snow. You should.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it used to be a great time out there. You should give it a shot. Yeah, we'll
just
see.
Just try it.
Yeah, that goes. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Kuharski will be with us later in the show. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. I've got some Four Nations takes to espouse out there later as well, which looking forward to that. Joe, we begin with the Derek Carr conversation. Now, I've heard Jared talk about this over the last couple of days. DVD had a very strong and passionate discussion on the Derek Carr front yesterday. And Joe, from what I can gather, you know, this is like anything, you have to judge, you know, people screaming about this, how representative is it of the way Titans fans actually feel? But Joe, from what I've heard from listening to Jared's show, and certainly what I heard yesterday listening to DVD, seems to be a lot of opposition among Titan fans on Derek Carr. They do not seem to have a huge appetite for the Derek Carr part of this. And I'm just curious your thoughts on why that is, your thoughts on Derek Carr in general, and if he's a realistic option for the Titans, which, by the way, we'll still wait and see whether or not he is. If he's a realistic option for the Titans this offseason, where do you come down on Derek Carr and that potential to go get him if you're Brian Callahan and this team?
So wait a minute. So are the two shows yelling at each other on this?
No, it's like it's more Titans fans yelling about the idea of Derek Carr being the quarterback. I think they don't think Derek Carr is very good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's all relative, because to me, if we're – well, I guess if you're going to include Stafford, then I'd make him third. But if you're not including Stafford – but you are, and I've kind of discounted Derek Carr. I've just assumed that he would be back there. But if he's actually an option, I would put him after Darnold as you know, the best option. He has played. You know, he and Callahan have worked together. He's still, you know, he's pretty good. I mean, it's not terrible. I mean, again, I know. I think my hot take on all this is Justin Fields. Most people have him way lower than I do, but I'd still put Derek Carr ahead of him if he actually were available. Yeah, I don't know why I mean, I get not being excited, totally. But again, look at the field and compare him to the field.
Well, I think the overarching theme that I come back to is, like, there have been a lot of Titans fans that throw out, you know, this quarterback here, whether it's Darnold, Carr, you know, Rodgers, whoever. You get through these veteran quarterbacks, and there's a lot to not like about all of them, right? Like, there's a reason these quarterbacks either are available or could be available. You know, Derek Carr, and Willie and D-Mace and Adam were going through some of the numbers yesterday. Like, if you break down the analytics on him, if you look at some of the numbers kind of deeper into it, it's not bad. Like, he's been a good quarterback for a while. Now, is he Joe Burrow? No, but he's probably right around the middle, right? Like, you're talking about the middle, I don't know, third of the league in quarterback play. Is that what you want at the end of the day? Of course it's not. But, like, the idea that you're just going to walk away with an elite quarterback this offseason on the veteran market, I just don't think is realistic. Now, maybe you hope that Cam Ward is that guy and you can draft that guy and he eventually turns into that. But, like, if you're going the veteran quarterback route, like, right now they're at the bottom of the totem pole in terms of the quarterback play in this league. It's them. It's Cleveland with Deshaun Watson. Like, they're all right there in that bubble. Like, the next step to me, if you're going veteran, Joe, is to get to serviceable, good, not great, but good quarterback play. Like, can you do that this offseason if you're going the veteran quarterback route? And I think Derek Carr certainly checks that box.
Yeah, absolutely checks that box. Yeah, it's not exciting, but it's, you know, even like a Stafford would be very much just a short-term bridge thing. And, you know, look, with Stafford, I talk a lot about, like, Cousins, you know, just not being a good option because of the lack of mobility. But Stafford used to be more mobile. He's kind of like Rodgers in that way, I guess, you know, like, he used to be able to move a lot better than it looks like he can anymore. So, again, would that be a great match with this offensive line? Though we know it'll be different and maybe it'll be fixed, you know, right now that doesn't sound great, but you'd still go there. But I mean, like, the only of all those options, again, Fields, if you think he can get better, or Mac Jones, I mean, some of those guys are the hope that you have growth at the spot. And of course, Darnold showed it this year. So you have that, and he's still young. That's why, to me, you know, he is intriguing. Carr is not that, but he'd give you a chance to be decent, you know? I mean, he'd give you a chance to get yourself together. Again, at some point, and not too far down the road, you're going to have to figure out who your next quarterback is, you know? And I know everybody thinks in terms of who's your next young drafted quarterback. That'd be great. But look, I mean, look around the league, how many teams are flourishing with quarterbacks on their, not on their first team. I mean, that's kind of how it's gone now. So, you know, that's, again, like the Bucs are pretty happy with Baker Mayfield right now. You know, Lions are pretty happy with Jared Goff right now. Lambs have been pretty happy with Matthew Stafford, and on and on and on, you know. So, yes, of course, you'd love to get the quarterback on a rookie deal because, you know, the cap. It's a good thing to have the QB who's not getting paid yet for the rest of your roster. But There's also, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. So, you know, right now you're just trying to get yourself to decent any way you can do it. Try to win football games again.
Now, here's one thing I've heard, and this came up in the Derek Carr discussion. It's come up in a lot of the veteran quarterback discussions. And I do understand the thought process behind it. I also think that, like, if you're the organization, you got to find a way to overcome this if it happens. Like, you talk about finding the next quarterback. So let's say they do go the veteran quarterback route, and they're not going to draft Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or whatever, and that's the decision they make. Okay, well, you go out and you get a Derek Carr, and he provides good but not great quarterback play, and you end up winning 7 or 8 games next year. You're not in the playoffs. You're better. You're a competitive football team. And I've heard from Titans fans that have said, okay, well, what does that get us? Like, what good does that do? If you're bringing in a veteran quarterback, you improve by a few wins, it's a better product to watch on Sundays, but it's not, you know, an elite product. It's not a playoff quality product. And at the end of the season, you're stuck at 7 or 8 wins, and you're not in a spot to be at a position where you can draft one of those top guys next year. Why would we want to do that? Titans fans have thrown that out there. I understand that concern. I really do. Like, I've talked about it. You've got to find the next quarterback. That's the most important thing. But, like, we've also watched a pretty darn terrible football around here the last couple of years. It would be great to get your quarterback position back to a place, even if you're not drafting one of those two guys this year, where it's a serviceable product to watch. To number one, see if this coach has any idea what he's doing. See if this front office can put together a team around him that looks like you're heading at the right path. Like, yeah, I understand you want to get the next quarterback. You don't have to be, you know, 2-15 next year to get that next quarterback.
Yeah. And look, you have to build your football team. So you can sit there. I mean, sometimes it feels like people only focus on quarterback. So it's like, well, you know, you're just going to be average. Can't get the great quarterback, but this is a bad team. Build the team, you know? And again, if you build a team that's good enough, then you can, you know, whatever you think of Jalen Hurts, I think he's excellent, but you know, the second round pick who you won a Super Bowl with because you had the best team, both lines of scrimmage, you were loaded all over the place. I mean, that's so do that in the meantime. Do that in the meantime, and you know, I'm not going to say it will just work out, but it might. It might just work out. It might trade a fourth round pick for a throwaway quarterback who turns into a Pro Bowler. I mean, that does happen.
We've seen it. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Derek Carr and the Titans quarterback situation. Would you be interested in a player like Derek Carr this offseason? How do you view quarterback for the Titans? Plus, apparently there's a quarterback take from me, Joe, that I need to explain because it sparked quite the debate on the Midday Show yesterday. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on Derek Carr and the quarterback position. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. So apparently a quarterback take that I need to explain as well. So we've talked about this before in terms of drafting quarterbacks and the Tennessee Titans. And one thing I've thrown out there is I am tired of seeing the Titans look around in the third round and say, oh, look, this quarterback is still here. Or in the second round and say, oh, look, can you believe it? That guy made it all the way through the first round, and now we've got a chance to go up to the second round and snag him. Let's go do it. I'm tired of seeing the Titans do that. I want conviction in my quarterback, meaning that I want the Titans to look in a draft, evaluate a quarterback, and be convinced that's their guy. And one of the examples I brought up is Will Levis. And we talked about it the day after he was drafted. You know, forget the way that it's played out with Will Levis. We all know that Will Levis is not going to be the quarterback here, and it didn't work out. I'm not even talking about that. Forget that part of the conversation. One thing we talked about the day after he was drafted was, okay, if you really loved Will Levis, and you really thought he was your franchise guy, why didn't you take him at number 11? There was no way that the Titans could have possibly known that had they passed on Will Levis at number 11 when they took Peter Skoronski, that Will Levis was ever going to come back around and be available to them when the second round began. There's no way they could have possibly known that. We know what happened. He was. They moved up to go get him, and then we've seen what's happened since then. My point on all this is if you really were convinced and convicted and that was your guy heading into the draft, you wouldn't have let him go past number 11 overall. So that sparked a debate yesterday on DVD. Willie thinks that whole idea is just not how things operate. Derek Mason is on my team and believes that, like, if they loved Will Levis, they should have taken Will Levis at number 11 overall and not waited around. And wants to say, like, if you're drafting a Cam Ward or a Shedeur Sanders, and it's different with the number one overall pick, but that needs to be your guy heading into the draft. I'm done taking these flyers on quarterbacks. And Willie's point, Joe, was like every quarterback you take is a flyer. So I understand that part of it. I'm just tired of watching the Titans look around and say, oh, well, you know, Malik Willis made it down to pick 86. Let's take a shot. Or, hey, Will Levis is still there at the beginning of the second round. Let's take a shot, see if he could be the quarterback. I want no part of that this year if I'm the Tennessee Titans. Don't be coming around at pick 35 and be like, hey, look, Jackson Dart's still there. How about that? Let's do it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I do think that it depends on what kind of team you are a little bit. So I especially, you know, it's easy. I mean, I'm second guessing to some extent more than first guessing, because when they took Levis, I was like, well, hey, I mean, it's the Levis. I look at those two as different too, you know, like, especially because the Willis thing came after they were the one seed. That was the next year. Do I have that mistake?
No, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you are right there, and that's a valuable pick. That's a top 100 pick, like we talk about, if we're going to make that the line of demarcation, top 100 pick, and that's totally just a flyer, right? Like, yeah, all right. Now, granted, at the time, people were like, oh, my goodness, this guy was going to go in the top five, and you got him at 86. And then the next response is, and why do you think that is, you know?
Yeah.
That one is, that's... especially like at that moment, if you're Tannehill, you got to be like, oh my gosh. Now, and then they take Levis the next year. That is, we thought, you know, that they were maybe going to do the QB thing, right? So,
right.
I mean, those are very different situations to me, just because it wasn't out of nowhere, I guess, that they took a quarterback. But to me, in both cases, you're good. And you're trying to win, and you have a good quarterback, and you need help at different spots to help the quarterback. And instead of doing that, you go back-to-back years with a potential successor for the quarterback. So you're basically, you know, alienating him, ticking him off. I mean, what do you think the locker room thought, too, in those moments, right? Like, I mean, I guess maybe some people may have been out on Tannehill locker room, but I don't think too much of that was going on. So they're like, oh, well, God, we need help on the O-line, the D-line. I mean, so now with this team, which is obviously so bad and needs so much work and isn't in any kind of window other than get the heck out of the basement of the NFL, I guess, like, if, you know, if the big board in the fifth round says, well, actually, Will Howard is just the top guy on your board, you know, I'm just giving an example. I mean, it's the top player on your board. You didn't take a QB again at that point. What have the Titans done? They've probably signed a veteran. So we kind of know the situation. I mean, if it's like, you know, it's going to be the whoever they signed and Levis, or, okay, this guy's the top one on their board. Yeah. Will Howard, or I don't know who else could that be, somewhere a little bit like lower in the
Win
draft.
Yours.
Yeah. I mean, that one in particular, I wouldn't be excited about. But okay, you know, the kid from Syracuse who used to be at Kyle McCord.
Kyle McCord, yeah.
Like, if it really is, like, you're in the room, it's like, this is the best player on the board. Like, okay, I don't hate that, but I think that especially because, again, both of those guys were high picks. Those were valuable picks at a time when you were in a window of winning. And even now you're in a window of building, and you have so many needs. So I'm with you. It's like, if you're going to do the quarterback thing, I mean, do it. Go to the, you know. Now, what if the Titans are like, well, our number one quarterback is Tyler Shugg from Louisville, actually, and we're not telling anybody, but we think we can get him, you know, in the second, with that second round pick. It is possible, right? It is possible that your quarterback evaluations are like Ward and Sanders are like fifth and sixth in your quarterback evaluations, that you believe you can get your guy later. I mean, I guess, but that would be a stunner, and it would feel like being taking a flyer, right? That really, yes. The way I laid it out isn't taking a flyer though, is it? I mean, it's gambling.
It's gambling. Like, but that's the Levis situation specifically. And I realize that the head coach and the general manager who made that pick are both no longer here. So it's a different regime.
Brinker's here though.
Brinker is here. And the Levis pick specifically, like we talked about it the day after it happened. It's like, so you had a chance to pick him at number 11 and you went with Peter Skoronski. Again, having no way of knowing that Will Levis would ever be available to you again. And then he came back and he was available to begin the second round. And then you're like, oh, cool. Yeah. Well, let's just go take a shot at it. Like,
exactly.
That's not, I don't want that. Like that to me does not scream conviction in your quarterback pick.
I agree. That
doesn't scream, oh, that's my guy right there.
Right. Right. It comes away like, wow, what a value. You got the future all pro guard and this incredibly talented QB, right? But again, like, so the example I gave you, it like no one's talking about Tyler Shugg being a high pick in this draft. Everybody was talking about Will Levis being a high pick, right?
Exactly.
So I mean, I guess, so like if saying it is possible to love someone and be like, but we're going to hold strong and we can get him at pick X, you know? I guess in that situation, I mean, again, it would, if it's truly not taking a flyer, then fine. But yeah, I disagree with Willie's the idea that, well, everything's taking a flyer. Well, yeah, but you know, if you are going for a quarterback, then if you are going for the top quarterback, you have number one pick, you better use it on a quarterback. That's showing conviction in your quarterback.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Take more of your thoughts on the quarterback position. I've got some Four Nations takes for the U.S. and Canada to get to later this hour as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball as the Commodores take on Kentucky with a 6 o'clock tip-off pregame show beginning at 5:30. Vanderbilt men's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium now through March the 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, speaking of the draft, we had Gentry Estes on the show yesterday, and he talked about it. You know, he's watching Cam Ward. He's watching Shedeur Sanders, and he's looking at Ward specifically, and he says, you know, the more I watch Cam Ward, the more I like Cam Ward. Now, we've talked a lot about these two quarterbacks, and I think the position that you and I have both come down on is, don't know that I love either one of them, and don't know that I think either one of them are number one pick worthy here as we sit here today. Having said that, you know, I told you, I've gone down a YouTube rabbit hole of watching Cam Ward. You can find a lot of things that you like when you watch him play. And I guess my question for you is this. Let's say that's the way the Titans go, and they pick Cam Ward. What do you think the process will be like for him in terms of his readiness to play in the NFL? Is it a situation where they draft Cam Ward and they would be better served having a veteran start the season and then him take over eventually? Would it be a situation where you feel like you should play Cam Ward immediately and that he might have some skills that are immediately able to translate to the NFL? You know, I think the, you know, the Anthony Richardson part of this is not a good comparison. Like, he's, first off, Anthony Richardson's an unbelievable athlete, but he was a very raw prospect at quarterback. Cam Ward, in my opinion, has demonstrated way more at playing the actual quarterback position in college than Anthony Richardson has to this point. But how do you view the readiness of Cam Ward to play if that's the way the Titans decide to go?
It's a good question. I can't sit here and pretend I know. I mean, look, I generally default to sit is the best option. Like, I really do think the Colts messed that up. But at the same time, I also think there's something to, like, someone getting figured out a little bit by the league. Because, like, if you really go back to the early, early days of Anthony Richardson, their whole plan was to play Minshew. And it was like, this kid's too good. And, again, that's practice and camp and whatever. But, like, you know, he was – and then, like, early, early in his rookie year, I remember there was a game, I think they lost to the Rams – but he actually was unbelievable in the second half. Like, he was like everything, lasers all over there, run all over the place, crazy comeback. And it's like, oh my God, this guy is here. It is, you know? And then it levels off and falls off the table or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, you know, you can have a plan to sit him, but then you sit there and you watch Jaden Daniels just drag a team to a playoff, you know, playoff success, beating the number one seed on the road. And you're like, gee, good thing you didn't want to sit that guy this year. You know, good thing you didn't go with Marcus and go 6-11. That's what you would have done, right? If you would have followed the conventional wisdom of, you know, sit the rookie. So I just think it's situational. You just have to see how someone handles things. With Jaden Daniels, he had played a lot too. Remember, he played like 3 years at Arizona State.
Yep.
Before he was a starter as a freshman. So he played a ton of football in college, which is like Cam Ward. Now, you know, I understand Incarnate Word may not be, you know, the highest level of competition, but he has played a ton of quarterback, and he played it very well at Washington State. And then everybody, like, found out who he was, you know, the casual fan found out who he was last year, and he did some ridiculous stuff. I mean, I would tend to think that, you know, he's one of those guys who would have a pretty good chance of playing right away. Again, I like the idea of sitting him, but if you're the Titans, you're sitting him for who?
Right.
Who's you take him? Have you kept Levis? Have you kept Levis to be like, okay, well, Will, you can test out how much you've improved, and you can compete with the rookie, and whichever one of you will split reps for a while, whichever one of you is better, then you'll be the starter. Or are you getting more of a veteran type, you know, like Minshew type guy who has, you know, actually done some things in the league, where you would, you know, basically have a plan of, you know, we'll probably go a few weeks with this guy, and then at some point Cam will take over.
Yeah, like you could go the veteran route and draft a quarterback. It's hard though, Joe, for me to believe that you go to the veteran route with anywhere near significant money and draft the quarterback. Like I don't think you're going like Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix from last year with the needs this team has. And look, you know, that ended up working out okay for Atlanta because Kirk Cousins fell off the table, and then they had another quarterback to go to. So I don't know, maybe more teams are willing to do that in the future. But I just feel like with the needs that are on this roster right now, I mean, Kirk Cousins was supposed to be like the final piece to put Atlanta over the top and have them win the division and get in the playoffs. This Titans team is not there. I feel like with the pieces that are available to them, I got a tough time seeing them committing significant money to the quarterback position in the veteran market, and then following that up with a number one overall pick at quarterback.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing it too. The difference with the Falcons, and again, when the Falcons did it, I know I definitely screamed about it, as did a lot of other people. But the Falcons, you know, they got a lot of elements of a good team. They have a decent roster, a decent team. So they're able and playing in a bad division. Not that the Titans don't play in a bad division, but you know they had a chance to do something, and the Titans really don't. So I think that's just a waste of resources to have money and that pick on that position. So if it'll be interesting. Like whatever the Titans do in free agency, obviously, I guess if they do nothing, we'll really have our answer. But yeah. Like the level of QB they sign, I think definitely will be a little bit of a tell on the draft.
If they sign Jimmy Garoppolo, is that a tell on the draft to you? I would say no.
It's funny how we never talk about Jimmy.
I know.
But he'd be like right on that borderline, right? I'd probably say no to. I'd probably say, yeah, it's just where he is in his career is he's perfect to start for a month and be, you know, the guy in the QB room, and then, you know, the rookie takes over for him. But you're probably drafting a quarterback if you sign him. Putting everything on Jimmy G's plate seems a little bit haphazard these days.
Jimmy, we've been waiting for you to become available, and it's finally happened. You're here. You're the next quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, baby. Welcome in.
The chosen Tom Brady successor. He had a good run.
He
had a good run.
I just want to point out that there was some Marcus shade that was thrown around in this segment, and it did not come from me. Rexro just immediately being like, we could have started Marcus, and you'd have been 6-11. Want to point that out.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm a little down on Marcus. He did okay when he was in Atlanta, but even if it's not 6-11, we can all agree it's not what happened, right? Like, we can all agree, like, Marcus Mariota has never played quarterback like Jaden Daniels played as a rookie.
Well, and look, in all seriousness, it's completely different players. It's completely different prospects. But, like, I you know, the old adage of sitting the quarterback that we've talked about, like, the, you know, the Packers approach, where they've set Rodgers and Love for multiple years, and that's worked out well for them. Mahomes set for a year. It's, like, you can find a lot of examples of quarterbacks sitting down that have worked out really well. I do wonder, though, like, if you're an NFL general manager, or if you're like a scouting staff and a coaching staff talking through all this, it's like, well, you know, go look at CJ Stroud from 2 years ago. Go look at Jaden Daniels last year. Look how much of a bump and how ready to play those guys were. And to your point, like, you know, Shedeur Sanders played a lot of college football. Cam Ward's played a lot of college football. Doesn't necessarily translate to being ready to play in the NFL, but those two guys, the one thing I'll say about both of them that I think is a big positive is they've both played a lot of football.
Yeah, look, I do think that – I think in both cases, they're definitely probably more ready. Now, some people would also say, you know, like where they are as prospects, because they played so much, it kind of shows you maybe the ceiling isn't as high as
right.
as some people, right? But, yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah, I mean, Williams and May, you know, played quite a bit. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Williams played at Oklahoma before he went to USC. Yeah, Mahomes played. Yeah. I mean, usually if you're an NFL quarterback, like, you're good enough to start a whole bunch of years. That's the crazy thing about the Richardson thing is more the outlier than anything, right? Just the 1 year of starting and it goes that high, and maybe some buyer's remorse now, but not for Indy Ben necessarily.
Yeah, not necessarily. Ed on the text line says, what happens when they sign the Garoppolo type of quarterback and Levis plays better in camp? It's from Ed on the text line.
Yeah.
What happens is Titans fans immediately, like, throw their head back against the wall. That's what happens.
Well, look, I mean, again, I wouldn't say I'm optimistic. I wouldn't say I'm like as optimistic as PK, who's coming in later, but I absolutely can see a scenario where Levis figures some stuff out and at some point is playing pretty good quarterback for somebody, and Titans fans are looking, there's another person. Oh, there you go somewhere else. And all of a sudden you're better. I mean, the thing about Levis is, like, if he's still on this roster next year, whatever else is in that quarterback room, completely different, you know, situation psychologically, right?
Yes.
Now he's back to screw you, I'll show you. Whereas last year it's like, oh my God, the entire world is on my shoulders and I'm doing a Mayo commercial. I mean, well, it's and sometimes, man, that makes a huge difference.
Well, the bottom line is, though, in terms of, like, fan reaction, like, he could go out there and be in camp and legitimately be the best quarterback in camp, and Titans fans are not going to care. They're going to be like, I do not care. Do not put him in the game when the regular season rolls around.
Oh, 100%. No, I mean, that ship has sailed. So, and then we'll get into, oh, great, tell us more about what's happening in camp. Like, that, you know, makes that much of a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait for that time of year again. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the quarterback front, plus some takes I have on what this week has meant for the game of hockey with the Four Nations Tournament, and the game's still to come. Coming up tomorrow night between the U.S. and Canada. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, we got the U.S. and Canada coming up tomorrow night in the Four Nations Final. I am very excited about it. After the game we saw last Saturday, I think it's going to be difficult to live up to the hype, but we'll see if they can do it. This is also a situation where, like, the USA got the first laugh. We'll see if they can get the last one with what I'm sure is going to be a very motivated Canadian team heading into this. But either way, I mean, it's shaping up to be just an awesome night for hockey and an awesome night in the USA-Canada final here. You know, I've heard some of the discourse this week, Joe. You know, John Cooper, who's the coach of Canada and coaches the Tampa Bay Lightning in his day job, talked about this. He's like, this tournament has done more for hockey than anything in the last 10 years. And I heard that, and I got to thinking about it. And I think he may be right from the standpoint of, I was looking yesterday. We were on the air in the studio, and I turned around, and they've got PK Subban on ESPN. And, I mean, they did a lot of hockey coverage of the USA-Canada game, of the Four Nations tournament in general, on ESPN yesterday. It's been all over the place in terms of, like, people who are normally not all that interested in hockey have been talking about the game Saturday night and the way that the tournament has played out. Some of it, Joe, I think is the timing of the sports calendar as well. Like, there's not a lot going on right now. You have an NBA All-Star game that is just abysmal every year, that people talk about every year how bad it is. The NHL All-Star game, quite frankly, has kind of been right there in the same mold, and they got away from it this year, and it looks like a great decision. So you got all that kind of factoring in. I think that this has been a very, very good week for the sport of hockey in general. We talked about it earlier in the week, Joe. Like, I don't think you should do this every year. I think it loses some of its luster if you do it every year. But more best-on-best international hockey, I think, is a good thing. The TV ratings were outstanding for the game Saturday. I have a feeling they're going to be really good tomorrow as well for the final. I don't know if the NHL foresaw it going this way, but I don't think a tournament that, quite frankly, I was pretty skeptical about heading into it could have worked out better for them to this point.
No, I can't disagree. And look, I knocked this last week, and I still philosophically, I still have a problem with best on best, but let's exclude a bunch of the best. Right. You know, it's not perfect, you know, but I guess you can look at it like I've tried to look at it more kind of like from a soccer mindset, you know, in terms of, you know, there's obviously the World Cup is the ultimate, which, and now moving forward, the Olympics should be the ultimate, right? With these guys playing for their country for gold medals, like, that's the ultimate. But there are other, you know, high level soccer tournaments that can, you know, slice it up in different ways that still move the needle, and soccer fans are very much into, and it's just high level. It's a lot of the best players. And so I try to look at it from that perspective, and let me know that you can't argue with the competition, the level of intensity, with the fan response. Like you said, I mean, great ratings for the last one. I think it'll do great Thursday. A lot of anticipation. Apparently the tickets are just, it's like impossible to get a ticket. I actually watched, oh my gosh, please help me with her name. She does a great job on ESPN. I saw her with Scott Van Pelt last night. Covers hockey along with Greg and
Emily Kaplan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Talking about how she's got like all these NHL, like former NHL players, like, hey, do you know any way I can get in to this thing? You know, I mean, so no, it's like, you can't argue with the results. I mean, it's amazing. John Cooper says that, and it's like, it's been a week, you know, like,
yeah,
it's been a week. It's been a couple games, but hey, man, like, it's just cool. Like, it's just in any format, it's cool to put these fantasy teams together and then have these guys want it as badly as they obviously doing. Look, frankly, dropping the gloves like happened in that game. I mean, that just adds to it.
Yeah, I think also like there's been a little bit of personality. Like, I love the Tkachuk brothers. Like, as somebody who's obviously pulling for Team USA, like, I love Matthew and Brady Tkachuk. Like, they are, like, they're really easy to root for when they're on your team, right? Like, you watch them play, and you understand why. Like, if you're, like, Matthew Tkachuk plays for the Florida Panthers. Like, if you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, most times you probably hate him because he gets under your skin. Like, look, Predators fans, when he played for Calgary and they got into some intense battles with Calgary, like, Predators fans hated Matthew Tkachuk. But he's like the ultimate example of a guy who's a total heel when he's not on your team. But when he's on your team, you love him. Like, they've shown a little bit of personality, which you and I have talked about. This league has been lacking for a long time. You got a little bit of that going for you. And again, like, just when the product and the level of play was as high as it was on Saturday night, and you have some of the best players in the world as invested as they are, then I think that makes a huge difference. And again, I think the time of the year that we're in right now, where there is no NFL going on, the NBA, you and I have been big NBA fans. I think even we would probably have to admit the NBA's got some problems right now that they got to get figured out moving forward. I think the timing of all this is working out really well for the NHL.
Yeah, no question. No question. That's a big part of it. Yeah, the personality thing for sure. I mean, that's the eternal, sort of lament of the hockey fan, which is just, man, more and more. I mean, Subban is on TV now, which we all knew he'd end up on TV.
Yes.
And he's doing a really good job.
He's really good at it.
Yeah, he's great. He was one of those guys who, like, wow, hey, someone willing to say something a little bit outlandish and kind of be funny and all that. I mean, like Canadian fans, they're rooting hard for Connor McDavid, but then after he has a hat trick Thursday, I like hockey. It's like, you got to
live a little, buddy.
Give us a little bit. But, yeah, the Tkachuks definitely are, I think, a lot more people are kind of, have been exposed to them, and that's sometimes what it takes to get more fans for your sport.
Ty on the text line says, I had two guys I work with come into my office to talk about the fights the other night. I've never heard them even mention hockey before. It's definitely getting some attention. I think all of that we just talked about, plus when you do have like the fights, and I know some people had a problem with them because they felt like they were quote-unquote staged, but there's no doubt, like, if you were in the building and even watching on TV, like, when they dropped the gloves three times in the first 10 seconds, I was like, all right, here we go. Like, that's, Kevin Bieksa on Sportsnet called it the best start to a hockey game in history. And that's a lofty bar, but, I mean, given the amount of talent out there and the way that game started, it's hard to argue. Like, that's how you set the tone.
Yeah, too bad he wasn't watching Ty Domi and Bob Probert drop the gloves in 1993, which we got a keg in college just to watch that fight. But it's close, though. It's close.
Well, if you bring that up, we might need to get our correspondent Darren McCarty back on the show at some point, just get his thoughts on all this.
I think we do. God, no doubt, man. We got to get him on ASAP.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Four Nations Tournament, your thoughts on the Titans and NFL free agency coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's ScoreCard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/ScoreCard Plus for details.